Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Thank you to Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, joining us, incorporating for us. And he brought it up a couple of times on the broadcast last night. The great A.J. Cassavell of MLB.com, clever A.J., pointing out, we just heard Xander Bogaerts, that the Padres actually have 3 twins on their roster.
Yep.
Xander Bogaerts has a twin brother, Jair. Dylan Cease has a twin brother, and Matt Waldron has a twin brother. They're all fraternal twins, and they all grew up playing baseball with their brothers, and credit them with a lot of the reasons why they were able to get to the big leagues. And then,
I wonder if they're all younger, or I mean, like, where they fall
in terms of like minutes,
who was born,
like, who
yeah.
came out first, who came out second.
First, yeah.
I mean, none of them are identical twins. I would feel like if I was an identical twin and my brother was like a big league baseball star and I was like an accountant, I would be like, all right, what happened here? Where did I go wrong in my life? But they're fraternal, so they're different genetically.
But that sounds like you're jealous.
Well, I would be jealous.
Envious. If
I would be somewhat envious.
We've discussed your 7 deadly sins. You have one. It's envy. Just one of the 7. I've got like 6.
I'd also be disappointed in myself. Like, if I had the exact same genes as my brother, and no, I guess if I had put in the exact kind of work that he did, I should be where he is. But they're not identically genetic. They're
right.
Fraternal twins, so they weren't born with the exact same, like,
I feel like
gifts.
I feel like also if you're a parent and you have fraternal twins, aren't you like, cool, now I have 2 of them and they don't even have the novelty of looking alike. But I now have to take care of 2 at the same time and I can't even do fun bits and mix them up. You know what I mean?
Dress them the same.
Yeah, they look different. But now I should get 2 kids for 1. They're different kids.
But these are all brothers. They all
ordered 1.
They all look somewhat similar, but not identically similar. But they so the Padres have 3 sets of twins, and then AJ went on to point out, the twins actually have more players who are dads of kids, fathers.
Padres.
So they have more Padres on their team, and the Padres have more twins on their team.
Interesting.
In this matchup, which is just kind of quirky.
Very interesting stuff.
So that's what I learned yesterday.
I learned that as well.
And the twins. Maybe we'll learn more right now from Paul Reindl in today's Roundel Report.
Don't
count on it.
Hey, get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Reindl Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Reindl Report with Paul Reindl.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
2 stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And 1 story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindl Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a yeah? Oh, yeah.
All right. Gentlemen, we will start, actually, with yesterday's Padres versus Twins game. I noticed something. We haven't talked about this yet today. I noticed something while watching the game that I don't think I've ever seen before. Can we talk about Carlos Santana's pants?
Or lack thereof.
We can. It is radio.
Or lack thereof.
Describe.
So he, you know, you see guys, they wear the pants rolled up, you know, still below the knee a little bit, and they'll show off the high socks. That is very common to see. I'd say most players just wear the pants all the way down to their cleats.
There's a new trend in baseball that would have gotten all of us laughed out of our little league game, our high school game, our adult league team. The new trend in baseball is short pants. Like, they're high water. What do we used to call them? High waters?
Like, around the shin?
No, they're like
above your ankle?
Like, above the ankle, where they show...
Joggers.
Like, they're like joggers. Like, if you wore short pants and didn't reach your cleats when you were a kid, people would be like, ha, 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 ha.
You always show a lot of ankle down there on your pants.
Yeah, I show some ankle. Yeah. But I wouldn't have done that with... You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm watching right now Jason Adam. He has the short pants. Crony
capris?
Wears them short. Like, no. Capris, but not quite mid-calf.
But Santana here, I mean, to me, he looks like...
I've never
like
seen
a jazzercise instructor from the 1980s or something.
So it looks like he's got, like, leggings.
Leggings on.
Padded leggings. Yeah. I know a lot of players that wear those. Maybe have, like, a knee pad in case you're sliding or a hip pad or whatever. So he's got those on, and then I go... These are rolled all the way up above the knee.
Above the knee, yes.
And then I looked even closer, and I'm like, wait a second. I think those are hemmed above.
They're not rolled up. They're actually...
They're shorts.
Like, from a distance, I'm like, he looks like he's wearing basketball shorts with leggings.
Like, if you went and tried to play golf at a nice country club in those, they'd send you back and go, those aren't close enough to the knee, sir. You're going to have to find longer shorts to play.
All right, somebody wants to do some dirty work down there today. AJ Casavell, Annie Heilbrunn, somebody. Find out what the hell's going on with his pants. And did he have them made that way? Because it looks, honestly, I'm not kidding when I say it looks like he cut them off and then wedged them into the top of some high socks. Now, he didn't.
I was like, did he roll those all the way up? And I'm like, no, I think you can see, like, the elastic, like, bottom of the pants just right there, well above the knee. And I go, it's not a bad thing by any means. I don't think I've ever seen that before in a baseball game.
Well, the 1976 Chicago White Sox.
What an idea.
They did wear shorts.
They wore shorts.
Pants.
Shorts.
Yeah. Yep. They wore shorts. Was it Bill Veeck?
Yeah.
Yep. And it was one of his, you know, we need to get people to the ballpark bits. And he was a real innovator, man. But he thought, yeah, it's hot in Chicago in the summer. We're going to put our guys in shorts. And, by the way, they had, like, collared jerseys. It was the worst look you've ever seen. And they were in full-on shorts. You could see thigh, knee, the whole thing. And they actually did that for a while. But, I did not understand that last night when I saw
that. There's a picture here of Goose Gossage in shorts. You mean you see his knees and everything pitching for the Chicago White Sox in August of 1976, and the collar, like tab collars.
The tab collar. How pissed was
on the
Goose?
Edge of jive? Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me, you stupid MF-er. Like, he must have been livid. Livid. It's the worst uni you can have.
All right.
This was an interesting thing last night.
Yeah, just noticed it. I was like, huh, it stood out. I'm sure those weren't the first time he's worn them. I just don't watch a lot of Minnesota Twins baseball.
Yeah.
So hadn't seen those before. All right. Next up, this is actually very rare. Seeing as how all the audio that we play on our show, whether it's an AI song, a Padres highlight, anything, it all comes from me. It comes from this seat, comes from this board right here. I have no idea what this next clip is. I've got it loaded. I actually haven't listened to it yet. So you sent over a video and said, oh, he's back. And I go,
who?
I don't know what you're talking about. I looked at just a screenshot of the guy and I go, who the hell is this? And you said, oh, that's right. You were in Washington when we did this bit. So I guess I'm going to just defer the second story over to our old pal Woods here.
Well, yeah, we played it with Italian Paul. You may remember the Colts fan that made the hype song for his Colts before a preseason game against the Denver Broncos. It sounded like this.
Oh, boy.
This is our Colts. This is our team.
Oh, my God.
We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them.
Oh.
For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts.
Ironically, he wants the Padres to bunt more as well.
Yeah. I love that guy. I love this guy here. So I thought, all right. I mean, he's obviously a big Colts fan.
Yeah. Something.
So I thought, well, that was fun, and we played that, and it's really an earworm. There is a part of me that likes...
You do like this. You shockingly, like, genuinely, something about it you like.
I like the part that says, this is our Colts, this is our team, we bleed blue. That's good to me. It's a good melody.
Good.
It's good. I like it. It's like, it sounds really good to me.
I think the shout at the end that sounds like a neigh, that like gets a horse, is not the best.
Do your best neigh real quick while I have you.
I haven't really practiced that before.
That did not disappoint at all. Like, not even a little bit.
All right, I'm going to do mine.
A little body to that. That was good.
I want them to go again.
Do it again, then.
Here we go.
Sorry.
All right, focus.
We said a horse, and he just got out of a cold shower.
I tried to add some of that.
I almost peed my pants. I'm not kidding.
The jowl shake that Woods had.
The jowl shake. I almost peed my pants. I'm not kidding what I said. How did I not think of this last time we played? Oh, no. Oh, I almost peed. I really did. I got 5 minutes.
I've never tried to make a horse noise before.
You never did that for your kids and stuff?
I can tell.
No. You've practiced.
All the time. I do. Oh, Taylor, what's this?
Ben's literally just doing the...
I'm dead, dude. So this guy rules, by the way.
I can't roll my R's. I can't roll my nays either.
This guy rules. He's obviously the biggest Holy Colts crap. Fan in the world. He did another one. So he's going to do them, I think, maybe for every game. And I love it. It's such a... Yeah, it's such an earworm.
This one says Colts Anthem Preseason Cardinals. So okay. Next opponent. And I guess here's the next song. Can't imagine it's going to be much better.
Same song. See how much he mixes it up.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Cardinals. Let's stop them on their big red wings. This is our team.
I love it, dude.
Go Colts! Yeah!
Oh, okay. Changed
just
it up.
Did the yah at the end. Oh, like, yah! Like when you're riding a horse.
Oh,
yah! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! I can do that one.
That's, yeah! I love this dude. And I hope he does it for every single game. Because I think he is, the song, it touches me. I don't know why. He's obviously a big, big fan. And he's great. He's great.
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
A lot of songs.
Well, I mean, it's not that hard if you keep
it's
the
not
same
baseball
song.
Season, at least. Yeah.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. This is our team. We love them. Beat
the
Raiders. Yeah, for the shoe. Please beat the Raiders this weekend. This is our Colts.
Crack
we
their
love
skulls.
You. Right. Yeah, it's like, it's not that hard if you just do the same song. But I do. I also, Matt, celebrate this guy's entire catalog. He is.
Well, that was me. Was that me? That sounded pretty good. Better than I thought.
Yeah, somebody said, Paulie, it sounds like Blink. When we played it the first time, they're like, I was like, oh, yeah. It makes perfect sense. perfect sense.
All right, finally, while I was searching for our third non-sportsy kind of fun story, I was in the old prep service. So you'll probably hear this throughout the day as you're scanning different radio stations.
Oh, yeah, you'll hear this. And they'll pass it off as their own. Trust me.
Yes, we will not.
We will not.
We'll do the story, but we'll tell you exactly where it's coming from. Saw this, and it was kind of disgusting. 37% of people polled don't wash their feet in the shower. And if I had to guess, 37 is close to one-third. There's three of us in this room.
I think I know who it
is. I bet I can guess.
I promise.
Who doesn't wash their feet?
What is washing your feet?
Okay.
Because I don't keep my feet out of the water.
Not just letting the water run.
Yeah, not just letting the water run down your leg and your crack.
Do you have, like, seats in your shower?
We do have a seat in our shower.
Okay, I don't have a seat in my shower.
But I don't need... You don't need... What are you, 100 years old?
I mean, I can't reach all the way down to my... I cannot reach all the way down to my feet.
Do you know how to... Okay, do you know how
to... I have to actually, like, sit on the floor of the shower.
Hold on. Have you ever heard of the concept of... leaning. Can you lean? Do you
I'm
know
really
how to
not
lean?
A, I'm not much of a leaner.
All right, here's
I can't. If I go behind my back, I can't
I can't reach.
No,
I can't
you would
reach my feet.
Who
backwards.
Would wash their feet like well, this?
How exactly am I? So it's slippery, and I can't keep my balance.
Lean against the wall like this. Look. Hey, there we go. But you don't have to do that.
Even leaning against the wall, it's. I really can't bend over that far. I have short arms. I'm not very flexible.
When it comes to reaching for the check, too, he's got short arms.
We're paying for that soda.
That avocado, yeah. Paying for that soda. Benny, when you shower, we talked about this, right? Do you use any sort of washcloth or a loofah or anything?
No, I just use my hands and the body wash, and I really scrub well on the top and then just let it run down the bottom.
So you wear, here's the thing, you wear flip-flops 75% of the time, 80% of the time.
Yeah, 100% of the time when I'm not golfing or Channel 10. Yeah.
You got to get the bottoms of those feet. Get yourself a loofah, like a, what do you call it, a poof, a puff.
Yeah. Do my feet look dirty?
No, not bad.
They're not bad.
It's not bad. But flip-flop foot is a real thing. I'd like to be on vacation and with Hotel Hannah and be like, all right, can you get the shower
sock
first?
Sock foot and shoe foot is a real thing, too.
It's a real thing.
I feel like my feet are
there's
healthy
nothing worse.
And clean because they're out in the open more.
Nope, that's not the case. There's a thing is flip-flop foot, and it's the bottom of it. It gets all like brown and soiled and...
In this poll, people were just simply asked, do you wash your feet in the shower? 60% said yes. 37% said no. They just let the water run over them. And then a few were torn, saying, yeah, I usually do, but not every time.
Every time. I have a full method. And I use the poof, and I put this scrub on there, and I get up top, and I get here, and I get down there. And then I lift one foot, scrub the bottom, lift the other foot, scrub. Now, you do have to be careful. Because when you put your foot back down, it's
slippery.
Soapy, and I've slipped.
Don't want to slip.
I've slipped before. Get you one of those things that the people put in the shower that they hold on to.
As Tony points out, Woods is such a foot guy.
Oh, I love feet.
Some might even say you have a fetish toward feet.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm loud and proud. I have no problem admitting it.
Guilty.
Guilty as charged.
I wash everything down as low as I can reach, which is pretty much
your knees.
Wash down
those calves have never been scrubbed.
The knees.
You are the most inflexible human
really
being
am.
Alive.
I
it's like
really
a cast
am.
Iron skillet. You can't wash it with soap.
He also has the pliability of a cast iron.
I
try to bend one in half and see how that goes for you.
Not very flexible.
Try to remember.
Please wash your day
tonight, tomorrow, whatever, before you go to work.
I'll see what I can do.
Try to get even a bar of soap is fine. You just get down there and get the bottoms of them real good, dude. Jocelyn says Ben showers like my 12-year-old son. Yeah, he's quick. I bet your shower is
phenomenally quick.
45 seconds, dude. I bet that's it.
Guz says we can put a temporary tattoo on his ankle just to see if he actually goes down and washes.
Hey, I will say, though, those things last forever. I scrub my children. You cannot get those things off. So we're going to need to take your word for it. Don't slip, though, because your soapy bottoms.
I'll try not to slip.
Your soapy bottoms will get you from time to time.
All right. Well, that was a unique Rindle report today.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so good. Ben, the cast iron skillet.
We've got Sammy Levitt's going to join us to talk about his Major League debut last night as a MLB broadcaster. He's got another game coming up tonight. We can also look ahead to tonight's matchup, game two of the series, against the Minnesota Twins. Get to that coming up next after a check of traffic. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fam.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
All right, smart or lucky? And probably a combination of the both.
Me, but I know.
No, AJ Preller at the trade deadline. Obviously, much was made of his bolstering of the bullpen, and that has worked out pretty much the way they'd hoped it would work out, with the back end guys really shortening up the games. However, the question is with tonight's starter, Martin Perez, who has actually, when you look at the numbers, there was about 15 different starting pitchers who were traded around the trade deadline. None of them have a better ERA than Martin Perez has with their new teams. He has been outstanding in his first, three starts with the San Diego Padres.
Brilliant.
Sub-2 ERA in those three appearances, not giving up a lot of hits. I think it's 4 solo home runs are the only 4 runs
That's crazy.
He's given up in his 3 starts. So the question is, did AJ actually know that this might happen, or is he picked up someone and just, boom, hit the lottery, scratcher. Wow, look, 3 cherries. I have just won the jackpot, and I didn't even know. I threw in a dollar. I got Martin Perez, and boom, this is what came out.
This doesn't take anything away from AJ Preller, or really any GM. But the way that I've always seen it work is that it's, I'm not saying you're throwing darts at a board, but Ben, like, you can't have known you were going to get that kind of production. But the one thing I will say about their particular relationship is that he's known Martin Perez since he was, 17, right?
16.
16, yeah. He knows what kind of player he is. He knows what kind of person he is. He knows what kind of makeup he's got. But, you know, you throw a guy like that into the right situation and good things can happen. Knock on wood that he keeps it rolling tonight, certainly. But think about how many guys that we've brought over that didn't do anything that we're supposed to. You know, I mean, it just, you try to put your team in the best position, put them in the best position to succeed. Sometimes they get to a place like San Diego and they have figured it out. Jerickson Profar is another great example. I mean, you're telling me if everybody had a crystal ball, they wouldn't have gone back and signed Jerickson Profar for $1 million. His moves, man, have worked out very, very well this year, and I think a lot of credit does go to him, but a lot of credit goes to the players, too.
So I just found this guy who does free sports betting picks every day on TikTok. He's got 200 followers on Twitter.
Oh, impression.
But here's his analysis. Martin Perez is going to get shelled tonight.
Oh.
Says the Twins have consistently been a top 10 team against left-handed pitching. 8th in WRC+, 9th in WOBA, 6th in batting average, 5th in isolated power. It's hard to find lefty arms that have been hit harder than Perez this season other than Patrick Corbin. He's in the 6th percentile. His slider is on xERA, 20th percentile in barrel rate, 17th percentile in hard hit rate, 5th percentile in xBA. He says, I know Perez has performed well in San Diego, but each of his starts are versus bottom half teams against left-handed pitching. Regression is due, and it's coming tonight. This is Joey's take. Any cause for concern for you there?
I mean, sure. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Always. I mean, I have cause for concern when Dylan Cease takes the mound. I have cause for concern when anybody takes the mound. I've been concerned about Joe Musgrove. He's been really good since he got back. Is there anybody in baseball that you know, there's a few guys, maybe you're like, all right, we got this one on lock. Chris Sale, maybe that guy this year. You know he's going to give you 7 innings of 12K ball every single time he grabs it. I mean, there's maybe a handful of those dudes. I feel pretty confident when Michael King pitches. I feel pretty confident when Dylan Cease pitches. I feel not very confident in Matt Waldron lately. But I feel pretty confident when Martin Perez...
Now, pitches. He's not the same pitcher that was the one that was getting hard, though. He's
correct.
Doubled his strikeout rate with the Padres. What? He's doubled his strikeout rate with the Padres.
Yep. I think you meant to say getting hit hard.
What did I say instead?
You didn't say hit.
You didn't say hit
hard. With the
hit hard.
Hit hard.
Yeah, that's
with the Pirates,
right.
And he's doubled his strikeout rate.
Didn't he figure something out right before
he
left?
He said, yeah,
and had like his best start.
Yeah, you know, he's changed his pitch mix a little bit. He's not the same pitcher now. Yeah, I am a little concerned. Now, he wasn't facing the best lineups in those first outings.
True.
And the Twins are a good team, and they've got a good pitcher going tonight. Bailey Ober's 12 game winner has been solid all season long for them. Not a flamethrower, but a good pitcher that the Padres will have to, like they did last night, will have to work hard, scratch out a few runs, and see if it's enough tonight for Martin Perez. But, you know, there's two ways of looking at this one tonight. You could be confident in Perez, or you could be a little nervous about regression that may or may not be due.
I will say this has been a really enjoyable watch, not just because of his success. He works fast. He pounds his zone. I like watching him. You know, he's an enjoyable, aesthetic watch. You know, he's a real competitor. Doesn't mean he's going to go out there and shove and give up, you know, two solo shots tonight. He could get torched, absolutely. But so could Bailey Ober. You know, he could absolutely go and get torched as well. I love what I've seen from Martin Perez. I love what I've heard from Martin Perez as well. Seems to be a really good fit. And let's just try to keep in mind, everyone, what we've gotten from him so far has been really good. He's also your, you know, proverbial fifth starter. So don't get too doomer, you know, if it doesn't work out well tonight. I know that that's like screaming at a wall. But he's your fifth starter, and he's been really, really good. He's pitched really well. So hopefully that trend continues.
All right, we will talk to the...
let's go to the tape real quick.
Oh, yeah, we're on the tape here. I feel pretty confident with Martin Perez.
Now, he's not the same pitcher that was the one that was getting hard, though.
Correct.
Hit hard, yeah.
Yes!
You sure he didn't edit out a word?
No, he didn't.
I swear to God.
I caught it immediately. To play it again one more time? Just one more time. I feel pretty confident with Martin Perez.
Now, he's not the same pitcher that was the one that was getting hard, though.
Oh, my God, Benjamin. This is a deviant. Just perverted mind.
Holy crap.
At all times.
Let's not throw any of these things into Sam Levitt's mind.
No, none
of
them.
That is an all-time.
That is an all. I feel pretty confident with Martin Perez.
Now, he's not the same pitcher that was the one that was getting hard, though.
Correct.
It's epic. Sounds like there's an edit.
It's not an edit. I swear to God, dude. I caught it immediately.
Yeah, we made direct. We're like, what was that?
You're naughty.
Sam Levitt will tell us how he felt last night calling his first big league game. He's got another one tonight. He will join us when we come back. Ben Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Well, hopefully he's recovered because, as we mentioned, not only did he make his MLB play-by-play debut last night, he also hosted the post-game show. Heard him right at the end wrapping it up. Sent him a nice text of congratulation. I'm sure you did as well.
Yes, sir.
Sammy Levitt will join us after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Michael King's going to take his final warm-up pitch as Willie Castro will be coming up to the plate. And now for tonight's play-by-play, making his major league debut, congratulations, Sam Levitt.
All right, Scan, thank you very much. Good to be here. A lot of nights on the minor league bus, I guess. Worth it for this moment right here.
Absolutely.
Beautiful night here in America's finest city.
And woo! With that, Sammy Levitt joined a very exclusive club that includes Stephen Woods over here.
No,
it's called
it doesn't
a preseason,
count.
A spring training game. That doesn't count.
Does not count, man.
No,
does
Sam,
not count.
Sam Levitt is with us. We talked to him yesterday before. Now the after. Sammy, how did it go? How did you feel? You sounded great.
You sounded great. Crushed it.
Yeah, good morning, guys, and thank you. I appreciate it, and I thought it went really well, all things considered. And, you know, I told Woodsy this via text last night. I was sort of oddly calm the whole time, and I give a lot of credit to Dave Marcus and Scan. They were both excellent to work with, really. I can't say enough about what Dave did with the ad reads and coordinating things, and what Scan did yesterday. He couldn't have been more kind and better to work with. So it was a lot of fun. Certainly a dream come true, and excited to do it again tonight. And I really appreciate everybody who reached out and had really kind words and everybody who tuned in. But it was a lot of fun, and hey, beautiful night, you know, pretty clean, nice game, easy to call, and a Padres win, so I couldn't have asked for more.
It was perfect. I mean, Jackson Merrill comes through with the bases loaded double, and then Ass comes in to close down the last three innings, Sammy, and it's like, all right, this is, it's not going to be that easy every night, certainly, but no huge delays with an umpire, you know, questioning something. I mean, it really went really smoothly for you, and nice to get that first one out of the way, I bet.
Yeah, no replays either.
Yeah,
I mean, there wasn't
fantastic.
A review, there wasn't a close call. So, yeah, it was a very clean game, which I really appreciated. So, yeah, it was fun, and for Merrill to have that that big moment was great, and you said it. I mean, Michael King was really good. He really settled in, and one of those situations where he could have gone even deeper in the game, and obviously, you know, with the bullpen the way it is right now and really well-rested right now, those high-leverage guys, they didn't have to extend Michael King beyond 85 pitches, and they could go with that trio at the back end, which you can use the acronym,
yeah,
but I will not.
That's fine.
But they were great. And fun to be there, and an easy, fun win to call, which was good.
But you did not get to call a home run,
yeah,
as of yet. Maybe that comes tonight. Now, there were some close calls. There was Manny's foul home run.
God.
There was a rise.
You got me on that one,
Sam. A rise on a foul home run. Jackson hit some deep flies. Christian Vasquez, was it, hit one
he thought he had it.
Any thought that you almost got fooled on any of those?
Yeah, there were a couple of close ones down the line. There was the Arise one, which was pretty close down the right field line. And then Manny's
was an
absolute moonshot. I mean, the thing hit, what, three-quarters of the way up the Western Metal Building, and what was it, maybe 4 or 5 feet fell. I thought Manny had the home run.
Yep.
But you're right, I didn't get the home run. I hope to get it tonight. Knowing the Padres and their propensity to hit home runs at home, I would think there's a pretty good shot I would get one tonight. So I would love to do that, but I can't get too greedy. So a nice win, good broadcast, everything going pretty similar to the way it went last night. That'll be good enough for me.
Well, so I'm sure you've spent your morning doing your research for tonight's game. What can you, Sammy, tell us about Bailey Ober and what the Padres are expecting tonight?
Yeah, well, obviously a veteran right-hander that's been around a long time, and it's quite a different task than what they had yesterday from Zebby Matthews. I mean, that was a guy yesterday that made his second major league start, and, you know, obviously they were able to take advantage, and the couple of times he got a little wild, they were able to make him pay. But Ober's a veteran who knows what he's doing, who's, you know, had a solid year for a good Twins team. So, you know, one of those situations where the Padres are going to have to figure out a guy that they, you know, haven't seen a ton in Ober, you know, a guy who was, you know, has been in the American League for quite some time. So, but definitely a solid veteran and quite a different test in that sense than what they faced last night in Zebby Matthews.
Is it going to be tough now going back to the pre and the post game show after getting a taste of the top life in Major League Baseball? I mean, are you walking around town
course.
Now, springing your step? You walk into a cafe, you know, everyone's looking. Look, that's the voice of the Padres right there, Sam Levitt.
Stuff.
Well, get all the freebies.
I will tell you, I am in a local cafe in, I don't know, is this La Jolla, Bird Rock? It's like in between right now. I have not been stopped yet while ordering my avocado toast and iced coffee. So to this point, my life has not changed. Will it be hard to go back? That's a great question. It will not be hard. It was pretty cool last night. It'll be cool tonight. It won't be hard to go back. You know, it's all good. I mean, I think I'll be okay. But I will say, you get the taste. It does. You want more, and luckily, I'll get another one tonight.
That's right.
Question now: if they deliver your avocado toast and they forget the avocado, are you going to say anything and send it back?
Because you just wear it.
Are you just going to wear it?
Because that's a great. I am totally the person that wears it. I wear everything.
You have to.
Me too, Sammy.
Well, it's actually funny because I feel like the big things in life, like career, the things that I deem important, I think there are things that I'm very intense about and not chill about. I will say when it comes to things like getting a food order wrong or, you know, little things here and there, somebody not doing, like, I wear a lot of that stuff. I am definitely inclined not to say anything, even if I feel like I've been wrong.
Yes,
in the quote unquote little aspects of life, the big things I care about, the little things I tend to let run off my back.
Yeah, like if I bought a boat and the boat sank on the first day through no user error, I'm going to be pissed. But if I get
I might send that one back to the kitchen.
If I get a cheeseburger from McDonald's and I ask for no pickles, they put pickles on it. I don't circle back around and make me a fresh one. I just eat it. Spit the pickles out. That's what I do.
Let me tell you one thing though that I think will be hard to go back to starting tomorrow. And I did the post game yesterday. I didn't have to run to the Western Metal Building because I just did it from the booth. So the run to the Western Metal Building, as much as I enjoy it, that may take a day or two to warm back up to. But, you know, that comes with the territory.
Well, now that Scan works for you, you just have him do the post game interview for you and send it up to you, and you don't have to do any running. You just casually walk over there and do your show.
Number one, Scan does not work for me. Wow. I work for Scan and Dave. So, you know, there are broadcast teams on the radio that do that. That they have one person go down and do the interview, or sometimes it's live, but we don't do it like that. And look, we got the video going. I will say this. I think the run to the Western Metal Building has become sort of a signature part of the post game and my, as the kids would say, well, I guess this is weird to say about yourself, but my aura.
Yes, that's your aura.
You know, as a post game host here in San Diego. So I'm good with the run. It's kind of my thing. Like, if I didn't have the run, what would I have? Would be my question. It kind of would all disappear to me. So the run is now an important part of kind of my persona.
Now, last thing, Sammy, when you were growing up, did you ever apply to be the Mets kid caster of the day? Because yesterday they had their kid caster,
it was great,
who showed up, and I could have sworn it was like, this must be Sammy's nephew or something, 9-year-old Kingston, who got to call what turned out to be a really good call of an RBI single.
And it's Rogers' 65th pitch of the day. It is smacked through the hole, a base hit. That'll score Nolanto, and Alvarez pulls in at second with an RBI single for Tyrone Taylor. The Mets now lead 3-0 against the Baltimore Orioles in the fourth.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great job.
It sounded, I thought, just like your call of the Xander Bogaerts RBI single in the bottom of the first inning.
2-2.
Very similar.
Swing and a ground ball, base hit, into left. Profar scores standing RBI single, Xander Bogaerts.
It's identical. Sammy, did you air check yourself?
Yeah.
I
listened to quite a bit last night. Yeah, I wanted to hear the first couple of innings in particular. I will say this, and I think it's natural. And again, I was oddly calm last night from the get-go, like from recording the open before the game. I really was, and I was surprised by that. I thought it was a little sped up the first couple of innings, which is natural. I'll say this, too, with the pitch clock now, and Michael King was working quick, and the ad reads and all that.
Yeah.
It's just, it speeds up. So I will say this. I thought by, like, the third inning, I was starting to really settle in. And then by the time I was back on for 7 through 9, I was, like, really settled in. So I wanted to hear the first couple of innings and kind of hear how I sounded and, you know, kind of get a sense of how sped up I was to how it felt. And obviously, I think I felt maybe a little bit more sped up than it actually sounded. But I listened and, you know, listened to the highlights. And I think all things considered, I thought it went about as well as it could have gone yesterday. And that's a credit to Dave and Scan. They were seriously just great yesterday.
Yeah, those Soapy Joe cleanup hitters come at you real fast goes on.
That game will speed up on you real
fast. Here comes the lumber
fast.
Again. Again. Here it comes. Just like all the time.
So good.
Yeah, it was. That is one of, not even difficult, it's just one of the moving parts that you can't get used to until you do it. And there are a lot of reads. And sometimes the reads come in, like, right after, after the Merrill double, there's one that comes in, the play to smile about, and, you know, Dave hands you the card, and you got to get that long read in, you know, before you get to anything else. So, yeah, that part of it, you know, takes a little getting used to, but I thought I did pretty well last night with that. I was pretty on top of it. And, again, Dave Marcus, man, makes it easy. He's been doing this a long time, so he sort of held my hand through it.
And, of course, the best part, the disclaimer from Major League Baseball that you can't retransmit or reproduce without the express written consent of Major League Baseball and the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I didn't get to read that yesterday.
What?
I may be wrong on this, I think that may be read like bring one of our imaging, and I should know this because I hear it literally every day. I think it's red like at the top or the end of our broadcast, like on the pre-recorded imaging.
Wow, okay.
I could be wrong.
Because, Don,
yeah.
It's his signature That's moment a signature with his paper, yeah, paper we don't, snap we don't of confidence.
Do it live. We don't, we're not like TV. We don't do it live.
Wow. Well, you knocked it out of the park, my
Good
friend.
Good job, Sammy.
All right, guys. Thank you, and I'll talk to you tonight at 6:30.
Yep. There's a 5:40 pregame show that Sammy Leavitt will not be hosting before that because he's got the play-by-play again tonight at 6:40 with the Padres and the Minnesota Twins, game two of the three-game series. Padres going for the series victory, trying to make it 9 out of 10 since the All-Star break. Dang Rockies, the only fly in the ointment.
We have kicked the hornet's nest in the chat about the just wearing your food order. Orthodox Evans has been at us all morning about he's like, if you go to the grocery store, you pay at the checkout, a bagger forgets to load up one of your bags, will you also not go back for the bag? If I get home, I'm not going back for the bag. If I get to the parking lot and forget the bag and realize, then I'll go back in. If I get home, I'm not going up for the bag. So 97.3, the fan must be paying you guys a fortune. Just eat whatever anyone gives you.
Well, that is the radio life for you.
Oh, yeah.
Just eat whatever's,
brought into
whatever,
the station whatever's
at any time,
clever.
For sure.
Listen, I've also worked in restaurants, and sending things back in a restaurant isn't
That's
the best idea.
No-no.
Yeah, it's not the best idea.
I mean, I'm not going to send
big
something back. No-no. You know, this was a little cold, or this was just a little overdone. It's fine. I'll eat it. No problem. It's what I ordered. It's not going to be perfect every time, but if like what I ordered is not actually there, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. We are done. Annie and Elston are coming up next. They'll have some more thoughts, a Padres deep dive coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. for executive producer and imaging director Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.